Father, we come before you now. And as we turn our attention to your word, as we look at Psalm 30, a psalm of praise and thanksgiving, these stories that we've just shared have kind of primed the pump, Lord, for what we're going to be talking about. You're working in our midst, Lord, and as we look at this psalm, we just pray that that will continue, that you would just speak to us, that you would encourage us through your word to us this morning. We give this time to you. Pray these things in Jesus. If you need a Bible, there's a stack of them on the table right by this column here. Feel free to get one. We're going to be looking at Psalm 30 this morning. Psalm 30. And if you're visiting with us this summer, we've been looking at different psalms. The psalms are located kind of right in the middle of your Bible. If you just open your Bible, kind of halfway, they're right in the middle. And there's different genres or types of psalms. We've looked at wisdom psalms. These past two Sundays, we've looked at lament psalms, where we cry out to our God about what's going on. Today, we're going to look at a psalm of praise, a psalm of thanksgiving, which is closely tied to the lament psalm. Right? Praise and thanksgiving comes out of lament. You can't do one without the other, which we will see. Okay, Psalm 30. Here the psalmist says, I will exalt you, O Lord, for you have lifted me out of the depths and did not let my enemies gloat over me. O Lord, my God, I called to you for help and you healed me. O Lord, you brought me up from the grave. You spared me from going down into the pit. Sing to the Lord, you saints of His. Praise His holy name. For His anger lasts only a moment, but His favor lasts a lifetime. Weeping may remain for a night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. When I felt secure, I said, I will never be shaken. O Lord, when you favored me, you made my mountain stand firm. But when you hid your face, I was dismayed. To you, O Lord, I called. To the Lord I cried for mercy. What gain is there in my destruction, in my going down into the pit? Will the dust praise you? Will it proclaim your faithfulness? Hear, O Lord, and be merciful to me. O Lord, be my help. You turned my wailing into dancing. You removed my sackcloth and clothed me with joy, that my heart may sing to you and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give you thanks forever. So it was the summer of 2006, and the Schenkel family was on vacation in the Bruce Peninsula of Ontario, Canada. How many of you know where Bruce Peninsula is in Ontario, Canada? Yes. Four of you. All right. Glad I'm doing an infomercial here then. You should all go to the Bruce Peninsula if you get a chance. We camped there. It's a beautiful place. Once you get across the bridge into Canada, just turn left. And then just keep on going. Just keep on going. All right? You can't miss it because the road will just take you there. If you run into the water, go a little bit right, and then come back left and just keep on going. All right? As you can see, it's kind of pretty, doesn't it? Lake Huron there, crystal clear waters. However, bring your wetsuit. About 50 degrees, 55 degrees. We got in and then we realized, whoa! So there's some people that are really brave there. But beautiful scenery, woods there. We would go hiking and we would go biking. However, on one of our bike outings, our son Henry John was just a little too eager on one of the curves. We were on a stone path, biking through the woods, and turned the wheel just a little bit too much on that right-hand turn. And what happens when you're 4 years old and you turn the wheel just a little bit too much? You go down, right? And you go down kind of Superman style, right? You go head first. Henry John fell off his bike and he absorbed most of the landing with his face. Okay? And as you can see, the result of this was a pretty good cut lip. He blood was spurting everywhere out of that lip. It was wide open. He had a little rocks and gravel all in there, so he was crying and crying. So I pick him up, right, and we're trying to attend to him, and then carrying his bike, and if you're a parent, you know how this goes. Right? So we're washing it out, and he didn't want to get washed out because, enough of that already. But after a little bit of love, after a little bit of time, Henry John began to feel a little bit better. We got back to Grand Rapids after our trip, and as we looked at Henry John, we began to notice something was happening to his tooth. It was going from white to gray. We didn't realize that, we saw that he had cut his lip, but we didn't realize that he had also hit his tooth very hard. So we went to the dentist, and she took a look at it, and she said, that tooth is dead. It's dying. As a result of the fall, he smacked it. It's going to have to come out. Well, we took this news kind of like a load of bricks, and we began to lament. And we're looking at our 4-year-old son here, and he's going to have the David Letterman look for the next 4 years of his life, 5 years. He's going to have this big gap in his mouth, right? Because his permanent teeth haven't come out. These are all these baby teeth. Like, Henry John. And we began to lament. He's just starting school, getting ready to go to kindergarten in the fall. And we know good diction comes with teeth, doesn't it? Your tongue has to hit your teeth in order to pronounce clearly. And would he have a lisp, right? Would his tongue wouldn't be able to hit that tooth? It's going to be gone. So we cried out to God. We said, right, what good is it that a 4-year-old boy loses his tooth? Why is this happening? We prayed and we prayed and we cried out. Well, the time came to go back to the dentist 2 weeks later to get the tooth extracted. And when we got there, she took a look again, a preliminary look, before she was going to get ready to take it out. And as she did, right, she got this puzzled look on her face. She says, I need to go get the other dentist. So we're like, oh boy, now what? The other dentist came over and he took a look. And then she asked us, now, which tooth was it again that we were going to pull? And we said, well, it's that one. She looks at it. The other dentist, he looks at it. She says, I've never seen this happen before. That tooth has healed. It's fine, she said. It's white again. There's no need to pull it out. It's healed. It's just fine. We looked at her. She looked at us. We were all kind of a little dumbfounded. Right? We sat in a little huddle, right? And we're like, I've never seen this before, she said. And as you can see from these pictures, right? There it is, right? His tooth was just fine. It was healed. At that moment, right, in that little huddle in the dentist, when we found out that Henry John's tooth was healed, we had a choice to make about what just happened. There we all sat. And we had a choice to make about what had just happened. Were we going to simply enjoy our good fortune and move on with our lives? Oh, problem solved. That's all taken care of. We got that wrapped up. Thank you. Or were we going to take some time and give thanks and praise to our God for answering our laments? We had been lamenting for about 2 weeks straight. Were we going to take some time to give thanks and praise to our God for answering our laments and for healing Henry John's tooth right before our very eyes? We had a choice. There we sat. What were we going to do? Klaus Westerman, in his comments about Psalms of Narrow Praise, reminds us that psalms of praise and thanksgiving are immediate echoes of God's acts which have been experienced by the community or by an individual member of God's people. Psalms of praise, he says, are immediate echoes of God's acts. What type of echo? They're immediate echoes of God's acts which have been experienced by either a community or by an individual. He says these psalms of praise are dominated not only by the fact that God reversed suffering in the life of the individual who spoke them, but also by the surprising and overwhelming miracle of this reversal. What is a psalm of praise? What is a psalm of thanks? It's an immediate echo of what God has done either for a community, a group of people, or for an individual. Psalms of praise by an individual correspond to the psalm of lament. They are two acts of the same drama. At the end of the individual lament, we hear a vow to praise. I will sing to the Lord because He has been bountiful with me. And that vow to praise is now fulfilled in a psalm of praise. What was promised in the lament, right? If you do this, I will do this, right? Is carried out and fulfilled now in a psalm of thanks. They're an immediate echo. So when God acts, right, we have a choice. We have a choice about what we are going to do. And when we look at the Psalms of praise, right, they give us a language, they give us a framework to do just that. Right? To cry out to our God and say, thank you. Thank you for what you have done for me. And like a psalm of lament, a psalm of praise follows a certain pattern. It follows a certain structure, a framework. It begins with an announcement. It begins with an introduction. Right, look at verses 1 through 3 with me of Psalm 30. Here the psalmist says what? He says, I will exalt you, O Lord. Why? Because you lifted me out of the depths, and you did not let my enemies gloat over me. Lord my God, I called to you for help, and you healed me. You, O Lord, you brought me up from the realm of the dead. You spared me from going down to the pit. They begin by naming what has just happened. And they look back and say, I was doing this, I was in this place, but now I am here. And I realize that how I got from there to here is because of you. Oh Lord, we cried out to you regarding that tooth. Lord, we didn't want our son to have a busted tooth and have to have it taken out. Lord, we cried out for you to healing, and you lifted and you healed. It begins with that announcement. I was here and you brought me here. But then it moves on. It doesn't stay there. Because they're so happy, what does the psalmist do? It then calls others. It calls others in. Right? Join with me. Join with me in what has happened. Psalmist, verse 4, sing the praises of the Lord, you His faithful people. Praise His holy name. Why? For His anger only lasts a moment, but His favor lasts a lifetime. Weeping may stay for the night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. When the psalmist recognizes the reversal, he doesn't want to be the only one that's happy about this. He doesn't want the only one to celebrate this good fortune. He wants the whole community. Join with me. Join with me. The thing I thought about in this call to praise is, do you ever get these birth announcements in the mail? Or are we the only ones? Anybody ever get a birth announcement? Yeah, you know about these things? Look at this. Look at what just happened to us. Right? We've been praying for this child, and lo and behold, here she is. Here he is. Right? It's 9.5 pounds. Right? It's 22 inches long. Right? It looks just like mom. Why do we do this? Right? Because we want others to praise what has happened.
Very rarely do we get a birth announcement that says, ah, bah humbug. Ah, another kid. Ah, bummer.
Right?
I guess if you're the Duggars, maybe you would do that. But for most people, right?
Hey, it's the call. Join me in praising and thanking God for what He is doing in our midst. Then it goes on to the main section, right? The Psalms often go to the main section where they review a crisis and they give an account of the rest play about what has happened. Right? In verses 6 through 10, this is kind of how this psalmist does it. The play-by-play goes like this. When I felt secure, I said, I will never be shaken. I translate that to, I was a little cocky before, wasn't I? I could do it all by my own. And when I was feeling secure, I didn't need you. I could stand on my own two feet. I was doing just fine. Lord, when you favored me, you made me like a royal mountain stand firm. But when you hid your face, and when you took your favor away, then I was dismayed. Then I went to a different place. I wasn't cocky anymore, was I? Then I went down into a pit. To you, O Lord, I called. To the Lord, I cried for mercy in that place. What is gain if I am silenced? What is gain if I go down there, down to the pit? Will dust praise you? The answer is what? No. People praise. Will dust proclaim your faithfulness? Hear, O Lord, and be merciful to me. Lord, be my help. The play-by-play was, I was a mountain. I was standing in my own strength. Nothing was shaking me. But then something changed, right? And I went down into a pit of despair. I went to a dark place. And in that place, I cried out. I cried out. That was the review of the crisis. Henry John has made a dead tooth. A new look. A look that we weren't so happy about. So he was going to get. But then out of that, the psalmist moves on to a vow to praise. Why? Because you turned, verse 11, you turned my wailing into dancing. You removed my sackcloth. Right? Remember the sackcloth and the lament? The sheep's glory, like the wool from sheep. Right, not satin, not silk. Right, scratchy, itchy, painful. Right? You removed that and you clothed me with joy that my heart may sing your praises and not be silent. Lord my God, I will praise you forever. I will praise you forever. James Mays, in his comments on these verses and on the psalm, right, on these types of psalms, reminds us that the presence of thanksgiving psalms in the Psalter, right, and there's a number of them, he says their presence is nonetheless a canonical witness that the cycle of trouble, prayer, and help is not complete without the specific and public acts of gratitude. There's a cycle, right? Trouble, prayer, help. But it's not complete until gratitude comes. Right, where we say thank you, where we praise the Lord for what He has done. It's not complete. It's not complete. These Psalms complete that circle. The Psalms of praise, they unite the reversal of the suffering in the psalmist's life with the activity of the eternal God. Right? They connect the dots. They give credit where credit is due. We don't just stop and enjoy our good fortune and say, wow, so glad that happened. No, we say, wow, thank you, Lord, for making that happen. Right? Without you, this would not have happened. Right? You are alone are worthy. You are the one who healed. You are the one who brought me up. You gave me excellent medical care. You gave me family and friends and a community that loves and cares about me. Right? You provided me with these things. And Lord, I am being healed. Thank you, thank you, thank you. It completes it, right? And it unites that lament, right? The cries of our heart. Lord, why? How long? Lord, hear and answer. And when he does, we say, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you. So I was studying these psalms of praise and thanksgiving this week. A story in the New Testament kept coming to my mind. It's the story that's found in Luke 17. And the story goes like this. Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. And as he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. Leprosy, skin disease. If you had leprosy in Jesus' day, you were cast out. You were on the fringes. You were on the outskirts of society because nobody wanted to catch it. But you were shunned, so you were out there. As Jesus was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy, right, the cast-offs of society, met him. They stood at a distance, and they called out in a loud voice, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. Jesus, Master, have pity on us. What does that sound like to you? What does that cry sound like to you? It sounds like a lament to me if I've ever heard one, doesn't it? Lord, have mercy. Have mercy on us. Have pity on us. Look at us. Look at what has happened to us. Look at what society has done to us. Lord, have mercy on us. And we could flesh that out. How long, Lord, must we stay on the edges? How long must we suffer? Lord, we are miserable. Lord, hear us. Answer us. Have mercy. That's a short psalm of lament, isn't it? And Luke tells us, when Jesus saw them, he said, go show yourselves to the priests. And as they went, they were cleansed. They were cleansed. They were cleansed. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, came back. He's going along, right, doing what he was told. And then all of a sudden he realizes, right? I've been healed. My psalm of lament was heard. It was answered. Right? So he had a choice to make. Right? He's going along and he's like, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? When he was healed, what did he do? He came back. He turned. And he walked back. Probably ran, didn't he? He didn't walk. He ran back. Praising God in a loud voice, Luke tells us. And what did he do? He threw himself at Jesus' feet and he thanked him. He thanked him. He thanked him. Then Luke adds, he was a Samaritan. And there's the little dagger for the Jewish people. Because they loathed Samaritans. They were just like those dudes with leprosy. And here's a Samaritan and a leper. He had both. Two strikes. What did he do? He turned around, right, and he said, thank you. Right, and he fell at his feet. Right, when we fall at people's feet, what is that a posture of? Right, that's a posture of humility. That's a posture of gratitude. That's a posture of, right, we know that we have just received mercy. We have just experienced something that we couldn't do in ourselves. Right? This is a confident, cocky posture. Right? This... Right? This is not. Right? This is humble. This is humility. Lord, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I did not deserve it, but you gave it to me. Thank you. That's what he did. What does Jesus ask? We're not all 10 cleansed? We're not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner? So Jesus says, where are the other 9? Then he said to them, rise. He said to that man who was on his feet, he says, rise up, rise up. Rise and go. He says, your faith has made you well. those questions that Jesus asks have stuck with me this week, and that's where I want to end this morning. Were not all 10 cleansed? The answer is yes, all 10 were. Where are the other 9? One, right, when he realized, right, he made the choice to do what? To go back, right, and to complete the circle, to complete the lament. Where are the other 9? Is God at work in your life this morning? Is God at work in your midst? And if so, have you returned? Have you stopped to return? Right, to turn around and to fall at His feet and to say, thank you, thank you, thank you. Psalms of praise and thanksgiving encourage us to do so. Say, yes, Lord, You are at work. Thank You, thank You, thank You. Would you pray with me? Father in heaven, we come before You now. And we come before You, having been challenged by Your Word, to examine our hearts and lives. And to see and to look whether or not You are at work in our midst. To ask ourselves, have we too been cleansed? Have we been healed? Have we been restored? Are we experiencing grace and mercy? Are there things that we should be thankful for, that we should be praising You for? Lord, if there are, I pray that You would show them to us. Lord, enable us to see where You are at work in our midst. Not just as individuals, but also as a community. Lord, and help us not just to recognize it. 10 people saw that they were healed. Lord, help us to be like the one who not only sees it, but makes the choice to go back and to say, thank You. Thank You, thank You. Thank You for what You have done. To fall on our knees in humility and say, thank You. Lord, without You, we would still be in a dark place. We would still be in that pit. But Lord, You have lifted us up. You have healed us. You have restored me, Lord. Lord, as we continue to worship You, bring to our mind, bring to our heart the places where we need to say, thank You, thank You, thank You. Lord, I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.